It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining me now is Pastor Papu to give us some perspective on our daily focus for today. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, and to AWR listeners.
So I was, thank you for this. I was slightly disappointed yesterday because I was looking forward to how you're going to be, explaining stuff for me yesterday. So if we do have time, I'm hoping that you'll give us just touch on yesterday's conversation. But today we're talking about different interpretations of Jesus. And my curiosity is, first and foremost, this idea of Jesus being a God, part of the Trinity, and some people counter-arguing that by saying the idea of a Trinity is polytheism to an extent. I'd love to hear from you. The doctrine of Trinity, do we believe in this too?
Yes, yes, we do. Christians generally do believe in the doctrine of Trinity. It's the greatest opponent for Trinity, the doctrine of Trinity, are the Muslims. I mean, by and large, those are the, I mean, you can't be a Muslim and believe in Trinity. It's one of the key areas they disagree with when it comes to Christianity. That's Trinity. But Christians generally accept that. And one would have to ask the question, why? Why does it matter? It matters because that's what the Bible says. So it's not a conjecture. It's not us trying to find some form of solace by creating our own imaginary Jesus. If we were to link the whole discussion with resurrection, which probably we might do later on, is that that very resurrection. You know, up until the death of Christ, nobody, and we must say that those very few saw him as God. So the doctrine of Trinity wasn't as clearly articulated. It was when his ministry, all of it was put together, that you could now see that this is exactly what Christ has been saying all along. I mean, for the disciples, when he died on the cross, that was the end. He kept saying to the Jews of the day, I and my Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. He kept giving those indications. And I'm the promised Messiah. And at one stage, then John 8:58, they stoned, they almost killed him because he was making himself God. He was blaspheming. Now, if Jesus was not God and he kept making such statements, then he must have been a liar or lunatic, or what he said was true of himself. So it's not so much what people said about him after he left. It is reading what he said about himself. Of course, statements like John 1:1, the Word was God, the Word was with God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with. That word with then means in his face, he was with. So you've got the Word was God and the Word was with God. Very interesting. Very interesting there. So no, Christianity, to a great extent, I can say, with resurrection, because it is resurrection that also testifies as to who Christ was. So if Christ was just another prophet, so he's in the line of Muhammad and others. But when they ask for a sign in John 2, he says, you destroy this body and I will raise it up on the third day. So that the resurrection therefore testify to who, to the identity of Christ as God, who was worshipped, who was honored as Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this idea of Jesus being God and not being a co-creator, a co-eternal, does see many Christian groups holding different views, doctrinal persuasions and interpretations of who Jesus actually is. So is Jesus a God? Because we, like I said, some Christian groups view Jesus as a created being and not co-eternal with God. Why do they see him this way?
Yeah. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, we must say, would look at Christ as a created being, a God, if you please. But there's very little substantial evidence. I know the doctrine of Trinity, I mean, has been written in volumes and volumes. The few minutes we have, we may not be able to answer to all the issues when it comes to Trinity. Jesus Christ is not a God, because if he's a God, then he becomes a God amongst other gods. He is God. I mean, we're talking about co-eternity, co-eternal. Co-creator. He's a creator. I mean, the Bible, Paul is very clear about Christ being the creator. In John, for example, says nothing that was created without him. And some even can see the echoes of Trinity also in the Old Testament, because the very words and ascribes to God, as we know, are actually ascribed to Jesus in the New Testament as the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lord. And all of those are also ascribed to Jesus, the one who is immortal. He's the source of life. He says, I will give life. He gives life. So it's very difficult to sustain the argument that he's a created being. I know some people say, even in some in the Adventist circle, there are others who push back on the idea of him being co-eternal. And they say, no, at one stage, at some point, he was created. And that creates all kinds of challenges, because God always existed as God who is love. And once you talk about God who is love, then you talk about Godhead in fellowship. You can't have love if there's no, if there's solitude, if you please. And so God would start to be love after creating. But if God from eternity has always been God is love, then there's no way you can actually come up to that. Now, this is just now being systematic without God actually being Trinity from eternity. Eternity is not a starting point. It's as far as it's from eternity.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But also now we must be humble enough to accept the fact that we're talking about something that we have no illustration. We can't illustrate. It's not something that happens on a daily basis. So there will be nuances here. There will be disagreements here. And we must be very gracious and not take a hard line and try to listen to each other. Because a lot has been said, and people well-meaning, so now we believe in Godhead, Christ as a person, sharing the same substance as God, the Godhead. And then even in explaining, you might find that you trip over your words yourself as you try to explain.
Indeed.
Because the reality is too much. And it's not only, when I say, we're not talking about mystery as in contradiction. You have the same in science. There are things you cannot explain.
That's
for example,
right.
I was listening to a discussion. What is energy? We thought we knew, but what is energy? How do you that you can explain what it does. Doesn't mean you know what it is. So it's not only in the realm of religion where you have reality that you cannot actually put in words.
Inexplicable concepts, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we know Muslims refer to Isa or Jesus as Isa, and they believe him to be just a prophet. We know there are those Jews who believe he was just a rabbi, just a teacher. Was Jesus just a moral teacher or a prophet or what?
Yeah, he was a moral teacher, but he can't be a moral teacher if he's a liar. Then he's not moral. If he lies about who he is, he can't be a moral teacher. So it is being just disingenuous to call him a moral teacher, to call him a prophet, if what he prophesies about himself is not true, you know, because that's the testimony that he brings about himself. If that is not true, then he cannot be regarded as a prophet. He's a false prophet.
Okay.
He can't be regarded as a moral teacher, because then all these teachings, because if you see the weight of his teachings have to do with who he is.
Yeah.
You can't separate his teachings from his personhood. When he says, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
His teaching is not like teaching as a prophet. He's not pointing to someone, just I am.
Yeah.
Now, if that is not true, he can't be a prophet, nor can he be a teacher.
Okay. So what do we believe?
He is who he says he is. Yes, he taught. Yes, he fulfilled the role of prophet, but he is more than a prophet. He is more than a teacher. What makes us see him as a teacher is who he was. So this is not your ordinary teacher. You know, the Muslims is one of the prophets, and then Muhammad is another prophet. Moses is another prophet. But Moses looked forward to Christ. The whole Old Testament looked forward to Christ, not as another teacher,
okay,
but as God incarnate. Because there's no prophet who was incarnated. Yeah. There's no prophet who died and rose again. So to make him a prophet is to actually underplay his identity, his personhood, to just say he was a prophet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So in the final analysis, what would you say is the final analysis? Why Jesus?
Why Jesus? Because listen, when he says I'm going to my father, and the disciple says, who is your father? But you have seen me. What we see, and which is very important, is that Jesus Christ reveals the Father. I know there are people who love Jesus, but they have a problem with God the Father of the Old Testament. But he seems to be saying, I'm here to reveal who God the Father is. So if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah. So our revelation of who God is. Yeah. Now check, almost all religions have a God, a deity.
Yes.
All right. How do you know that your deity is the
correct
is the correct one?
Mm.
Now what we say is it is Christology. It is our understanding of who Christ is. So that tells us which God.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So Christ says this is God the Creator. So he comes and says, it's like he says, I can see you're confused about God.
Yeah.
You've got so many of them. Let me now reveal to you who God is. And then he comes and says, I am God. And then which is very, very refreshing, because you don't have that anywhere else.
Yeah.
So Christ therefore becomes the litmus test of who God is.
Yes.
In other words, if there's a religion that comes and says, we also have God, it says, but is this God the same as the one that Christ revealed?
Yes.
That's going to be the starting point. So when the Muslim says, no, we believe in Allah, but they have a problem with Christ, they don't see Christ as revealing as God, then we begin to say, yeah, maybe you believe in him as a historical figure.
Yeah.
But this Christ is not necessarily the Christ that we know in the New Testament.
Yes.
Because that Christ died and rose. But then the Muslims will say, no, he did not die. The Jews will say he did not resurrect.
Yeah.
But Christians say he died and he rose again.
Yeah. Mfundis, if you may, I'd like you to just give us a glimpse of what we missed out on yesterday. And I will not ask you any questions about what happened yesterday. Just give us what you can, and then we'll end it right there. I don't want us to miss out on what you were going to tell us yesterday. Just a brief.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll give it. If I leave any point, you can just raise a question.
Okay.
So what we say is resurrection is the nexus. It is the center of Christianity. If you move resurrection, there's no Christianity. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile. Then we are still in our sins. Then those who are dead are lost. It's like there is no Christianity. And the way he puts it, it can be falsified. In other words, he says, if it did not happen.
Yeah.
If it did not happen. In other words, if somebody can sit and prove and show that there was no resurrection, and that is accepted and it's shown, then that's the end of Christianity.
Yes.
So Christianity is the historical religion. It says there's a historical event. You can actually go and test it. When Paul writes to the Corinthians a few years later, he says there are witnesses. Some of them are still alive. He's saying, go test them. Go look at them. Go ask them. And then he says, here's the evidence. Now, when the disciples who actually proclaimed, some people say no, but there are theories. So no, the disciples actually are the ones who brought this whole idea of a resurrected Christ. But why would they do that?
Mm.
You see, the Messiah was not supposed to be resurrected, as they understood. So if you want to invent a Messiah, you don't need to resurrect him.
Okay.
You can still lie, you can still talk about him without resurrecting him. So the disciples actually came to understand the meaning of resurrection after resurrection. It's not like on Friday they were expecting resurrection.
Yeah.
So that when it doesn't happen, then they must create it. On Friday, when Christ died, it was the end. When he resurrects on Sunday with the disciples on their way to Emmaus, they said he's dead, he's finished.
Yeah.
So in other words, they were not looking forward to resurrection. They wouldn't have any reason to resurrect him in their minds. And even if they were to resurrect him, why would they do that? Nobody expected that. Nobody demanded that.
Yes.
So there was, why would you create a lie when no one is expecting a lie?
Yes.
I mean, and then you die for it. Because now they started preaching that Christ is risen.
Okay.
He's the Lord. And then for that, they were persecuted. Who creates a lie?
I mean,
I can believe a lie and die for it. But who creates a lie and dies for a lie? And say, even if I die, I will resurrect because Christ is resurrected. When you know that Christ never resurrected, it would be foolhardy. And so we have every reason to believe you've got an empty tomb. All you could do is to produce the body and say, here is the body. And none of the prophets prophets, none of the founders of any movement ever claimed to have resurrected. Even the resurrection stories that we hear about, most of those are myth. There's no history behind. Mm. But what's beautiful about Christ is it's historical. You know, I go to Jerusalem, and then they say this is the grave. It could be this one. It could be that one. And then we're not sure. It could be the one inside. It could be the one outside in the garden. But both of them are empty. So that discussion is not saying Christ did not resurrect.
Yeah.
But we're not sure from which grave.
Yeah.
So the empty tomb with the risen and the Christ who was seen becomes a very powerful argument. And the Christ who was buried in a tomb that was known.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is to go to that tomb and say, here's the body. And then end of the story. But to put it nicely, why would Christianity, because Christianity without the resurrection, it would have long died. 2,000 years later, he still talks about that. Then we must say those illiterate disciples must have been very, very powerful
yes.
for them to create such a lie. And this lie becomes such a powerful force
yes.
that it would attract over 2 billion, even 2,000 years later.
Yeah, well, we've seen evolution attracting much more people, isn't it? When it's so lies can attract a lot of people, right?
Yes, lies can do that. Evolution is very interesting. I wish we could talk about evolution.
I can invite you for this. We can talk about it.
Yeah. Do you know why evolution would attract people?
Yes.
If you don't want, I mean, this was Thomas Nagel, a philosopher in New York University. He says, I don't want God to exist. So if I don't want God to exist, do you think evolution is going to be unpopular?
Okay.
If the Bible says, young men, do whatever you do, but God will judge you. Now, who wants to be judged? Who wants to give an account?
Yeah.
So evolution becomes a very attractive to people who are saying, I'm not giving an account to anyone.
Yeah.
So it has to be popular.
Okay.
I mean, even during the time of I mean, you can go as far as, I'm being not here. You can go as far as, who's this guy? Cain.
Yes.
Cain believed in evolution, even though he was talking to God face to face. The whole thing of him being created by God and having to give account to God. When God says, where is your brother? He says, my brother's keeper.
Yeah.
He says, do I have to answer to you? So evolution becomes very, very, very attractive. If you really look down to it, Bible talks about suppression of knowledge. I wish one day we could just talk about evolution. Actually, there's a book which is beautiful. It says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Atheism. And in the new form now, the new atheist, like your after 9/11, it's very interesting to just to track the history and what is happening. Atheism is becoming very difficult to sustain.
Yes.
And we can really quote people who used to run with. I'm not saying they are Christians now.
Yes.
But they're just finding it very difficult to
defend it. Yes.
The whole issue of specification and information in the cell. Where does information come from? I mean, how can information evolve?
Okay.
I mean, how can I love you. How can that sentence evolve?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so there are all those things. But that aside, I think your point was, I think the point which is very good was, a lie can also be
attractive.
Very attractive.
Correct.
So the very fact that something is attractive doesn't mean that it is actually legitimate and authentic.
Yeah.
I think I get that. Okay. I mean, I agree with you on that.
All right. So the questions you've put them for this are very curious for me. I would love to discuss them each individually, but I'm just going to pick a few. One of the questions that is also difficult to answer, Jesus says, 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. How long was Jesus dead for? If he died on Friday and resurrected on Sunday, that does not mathematically arrive at 3 days and three nights. The math is not mathing there, Pundis. So how long did Jesus really spend dead?
Yeah. And that poses a problem to us, because if you say 3 days and three nights, you're actually looking at 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to us now, if you take 3 days, if it's not 72 hours, it can't be 3 days.
Yeah.
It has to be 72 hours. But that's not even how we speak. When we say izolelinye,
yes,
and 3 days, we're not talking about hours.
Okay.
The whole thing of using it hours to give you a day.
Yeah.
We don't count a day as hours. As long as it's another day, it's like it's another day.
Okay.
So if Christ dies on Friday and the Saturday and the Sunday, generally, the way we speak will be 3 days.
Okay.
But that has also brought in a lot of discussion. Others have pushed back and say, no, he must have died on Thursday. But I like those discussions.
Okay.
Because those discussions are not saying he did not die.
Yeah.
They're just saying, no, he must have died on Thursday. Which is fine. We can run with that. We can run with that. Because for you to say, no, he says he's going to die 3 days, but it's 2 days. Therefore, he did not die or he did not resurrect. I mean, you would really struggle to connect that. That because I cannot come up with 72 hours. So there was no Christ. There was no historical figure like Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, if we wanted to create a lie around this, we would have long really adjusted that. It would have long been reconciled so that he dies on Thursday and then we count 72 hours. The very fact that in all your manuscript, it remains like that.
Yeah.
It means that's how it was reported and that's how it was recorded.
Remember,
so you don't really need to reconcile it.
This question doesn't really call into question whether he died or not. At this question, at this level, it's calling to question his omniscience, his understanding of maths, his prophetic capacities, his knowledge of how people are going to conceive what he said. Because as far as his suggestions, he didn't say 3 days. He aligned it to 3 days and three nights. Just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights. So it's not... go ahead.
But the question is, was Jonah 3 days and three nights? Do we have that?
No.
Can you actually... If we can go and count Jonah...
Yeah.
And say this is Jonah's period. Therefore, when Christ says 3 days, three nights, he must mean that period.
Yeah.
So we are looking at Christ's word, but we can't go and prove that Jonah was 3 days, three nights, as Christ said.
Yes.
All we know is this is what he said.
All yes. Right?
I don't know how much we're going to accept because we are still doubting him. So now let's do this. Let's go to history then.
Yes.
And look at Jonah. But where are we going to find that information?
Yes.
Where we are going to say, look, Jonah died on Thursday. It was in the sea on Wednesday.
Yes.
Thursday,
yes.
Friday.
Yes.
So Christ was referring to that period.
Yeah.
But we don't know that period. So we don't even know how Christ conceptualized the 3 days, three nights of Jonah because we don't even have evidence outside of what Christ says.
Yes.
To actually match.
Yes.
If Jonah himself, without even going to Christ, Jonah himself,
yes,
to understand what it meant. So we without that. But I agree, I accept what you are saying. But then the question is, are we discussing whether he resurrected or not?
Yes, yes,
or are
yes.
we discussing whether he's a true prophet or not?
Yes,
which
yes.
Which one is bigger? Are we saying if he missed on the time, let's argue he missed on the time, then he wouldn't have, then he did not resurrect.
Yes.
It's not true.
Yes,
there
yes,
no
I hear you.
Because,
I hear you, Funes. Yeah, I hear you. Got it. Yes.
So, yeah, we have to allow that argument to take place. But then the question is, when we have summarized that argument, do we then say we use it as evidence that he did not resurrect?
Yes. After all is said and done, he did die and he did resurrect. That's a clear one. Thank you very much, Mfundis. So another question there is how did Jesus die? Was it asphyxiation? Did he die from cardiac arrest? Like some of the pastors say, he died of a broken heart. Truly, in truth, how did Jesus really die?
It's difficult to say because I know there are medical evidences that are given on how he died. I mean, we're looking at physiology.
Yes.
I mean, how he died. Asphyxiation is one of those that he, the way he was crucified. I mean, remember, he was on the cross.
Yes.
And so people who are crucified on the cross would all die the same way. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yes.
You will bleed, you will die. That's fine. But now theologically, now this is now the interpretation that Christians would give, looking at his death not as an incident,
yes,
or an accident,
yeah,
that that he came to die. So we even go to a point where even if he was not crucified on the cross, he would have died for us, because it is his death, not so much the cross that saves us, but his death. But his death was on the cross, so that now the cross actually magnifies his death, but it is his death that actually saves, not the cross itself.
Yes.
The cross, there were thieves that died on the cross.
Correct.
But they didn't save anyone.
Yes.
So it is his death. So and if you look at the lambs, the sacrifice that were made in the Old Testament, it was the death and the blood of those that actually were salvific. Not so much that they were put on the cross.
Yes.
All right. Even though, of course, Christ predicted his death to be the death on the cross, as Noah, what does it say? As Moses lifted up the snakes, serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man be lifted up. If I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me.
That's right.
So it would appear that he knew how he would die. But it's not so much the cross And I'm not trying to undermine the cross here.
Okay.
It's not so much if his death was, if he did not die on that cross would not have saved us. So all we know is by the time they came, he had died. The songs and the hymns and the praises and the worship and the doxology says he died for our sins. It was the Lord. I mean, when he cried out and says, Lord, he did not say, oh, Lord, please, these nails are killing me. He says, why have you forsaken me? He died of a broken heart. He died because he could not see beyond the grave. Now, when Paul looks back at his death, he says he tasted death for everyone.
Yeah.
So that the death of Christ on the cross was not the death of a person on the cross. It was the death of a sinner. It was the second death. It was the death of hell. Because you remember, he was not saving us from dying on the cross. He was saving us from dying the eternal death. So his death was actually that death.
Yeah.
And that death is not introduced by nails. It is introduced by our separation from God. Hence, the cry on the cross was directed at the separation, not at the nails on the cross.
Okay, okay. So, another question. All these questions you put there are just questions on their own. I would love to discuss them with you on their own. What was Jesus doing when he was dead? Some are suggesting that he was not really just resting there. He went and preached to the dead, which is another conversation. But in truth, what was Jesus doing?
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that when we talk about the state of the dead. Mm. No, Jesus, what was Jesus doing when he was dead? He was just busy dead. He was dead. That's what he was doing. He was just dying. He was dead.
Yeah.
And I know that, I know that because of the excitement that the church attaches on his resurrection.
Yes.
Because if there was something that he was doing in his death, there wouldn't be this excitement about his resurrection.
Yes.
Because his resurrection actually points to the fact that with him not having resurrected, we would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
Actually, Paul says, if Christ never rose, then that's the end of Christianity. So whatever he did, it would not help us. Okay, let me say that again. Whatever people say he did when he was dead, that had nothing to do with us. It was his resurrection that helped us, not what he did when he was dead. Because if they say, if Christ is not risen, this is what Paul says, then us, those of us who are dead, are lost.
Okay.
Then which means if Christ did not rise, he himself would be lost. It does not say you'll continue doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
He would be lost if we are also lost if we don't resurrect.
Yeah.
So then I think the evidence points to the fact that when he rose, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
It was not saying no. And you know what, Anaya?
Yeah,
we've got to emphasize his resurrection. Because if we don't do that, then his death is also a fake.
Okay. Okay.
It's a fake. It's like Christ was in heaven and enjoying himself and doing other stuff. And then he rose on Sunday. But honestly, if he could do that, he might as well continue doing that for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Okay.
What's the excitement about the resurrection? Because it was that resurrection that would have made a big difference. So we can say, yes, there's texts like, no, he went to preach, he went to do that.
Yes.
Christ preached enough. He had enough witnesses even during the Old Testament. Why would he pick only those? There are many others that died. Why did he go that? Is that how Christ does it? He has to die first and then go and look for souls. That belief is predicated on the sense that people who are dead are still alive.
Mm.
Then you can still go and preach. Which now takes us to another topic altogether.
Yes.
Where we begin to talk about what the Bible basically teaches about
the dead.
About the dead. No, for us to celebrate the resurrection, we must have death.
Hey,
we must have death.
That's
if we don't have death, then resurrection is meaningless.
Oh, Nkosiyam. Hey, Mfundisi, thank you very much for allowing me to ask these questions. I cannot keep you any longer. Our time is up with you. Please pray for us as we conclude.
Yeah. Well, my wife is just next to me. He says she wants to pray.
Oh, please. Jumemzo. Yes. Magastanda Zalumem. Kosi mem.
Greetings, AWR.
Hi, Jumemzo.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise your name, King of Glory, for such a powerful lesson that you have just received right now. How we pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to teach us in things that we do not understand. We pray, Lord, in a very special way for the director of this program, Naye.
Yes, ma'am.
Bless him, Lord, abundantly. We pray also, Lord, for all the listeners. These are your children, merciful Father, that take their time and connect to the radio and listen how we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless them and meet all of them in their points of need.
Yes.
We thank you, Master Redeemer, Savior, and Friend. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Dimemzo, thank you very much, Dimemzo. What a beautiful tag team. Thank you very much, fam.
That's how we roll.
That's it. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I'm always blessed by your ministry and your expositions. They help me personally. How much more to other people? Thank you very much, Mfundisi. No, ma'am, diyabulela. Ngobuthandazo, Nkosi Mfundisi.
Okay,
all right, that's how we end our conversation with Mfundisi. And oh my goodness, hi, Mfundisi Pap. Let's move on.
It's never just about faith, it's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism. AWR.